Almighty God, our hearts rejoice that we can gather together this day to worship you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, we indeed praise you, your mighty King, the one who rules over all, the one who has created all things, and the one who has created us in your own image. Oh Father, we thank you and we praise you, that though frail and weak, there's so much potential that can be in us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you have not only opened the way for us to be reconciled back to you, but you have made it possible for us to be partakers of the divine nature, that we may become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, we may enjoy life abundant, fellowship with you, with your people, and also an eternity that we can look forward to for all those who love you. An eternity in which we know that so much awaits us that we do not at this time really comprehend. Father, we also realize that though we can look forward in joy to the inheritance that awaits us, we realize that while on earth we have a task to accomplish. And we ask that you will continue to equip us, transform us, prepare us, that we may indeed fulfill your high calling for our lives. Father, we also realize that as we seek to obey you, we also know that there is significant opposition that confronts us day by day and in every situation of life. For we know that we have an enemy that will seek to oppose your work in every way that he knows how. Father, we know that he is a strong enemy, but we thank you that we can have confidence because we know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we thank you that he is also a foe that has already been defeated. Defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. By the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had defeated the evil one, triumphed over all the evil spirits and made a public display of them. He proclaimed his great and glorious victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we resist Satan and all evil spirits. We bind you evil spirits and we forbid you in any way to disturb us at this time, to hinder us in our time of worship, or to hinder us in our concentration or reception of what God has to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we command all evil spirits to depart from this place. We forbid you to be in our presence, in our midst, or to distract us or disturb us in any way. Father, we come this time to your loving hands and we ask that you will speak to us and you help us to understand more clearly the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and our oneness in the body of Christ, how we can move together more effectively in oneness of heart and the power of the Spirit of God. We thank you, we praise you, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the series on two important temptation scenes, we've now come to the 12th message, and we'll be carrying on to the 15th point. And this afternoon, I'd like to consider together with you some basic objectives of the evil one as he tempts us, and through the various aspects of his strategies that we're considering, what is it that he's trying to accomplish. And I'd like to consider together with you his objectives in the direction of, to lead us in the direction of bondage, death, and destruction. The direction of bondage, death, and destruction. Actually, as we consider the various messages in this series, from time to time we have referred to some of these effects in some of these aspects in terms of what evil is trying to do, but this afternoon we will highlight and concentrate on this area because it's very important for us to be very clear of what the evil one is seeking to accomplish and not be deceived as we work our lives day by day, or fail to be conscious of what he's trying to do to us. And you will realize that through the various things that he does, as he tries to tempt us in the body appetites, as he tries to stir up pride in us, or as he tries to deceive us, under the various aspects we're considering, the strategies of the evil one, one major aspect of his objective is actually to destroy us. All these things that he's trying to do to us, tempting us, causing us to falter, his basic objective is to lead us in bondage, destruction, in the direction of death. As we look at Genesis chapter 3, you notice in verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. You surely shall not die." And in verse 5, he says, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 4, he says, "You surely shall not die." This is really a lie, and in fact this will be one major area considering that he's actually trying to bring about death for Adam and Eve, and also the same principle at work in our lives, the lives of man, all of mankind. Although he told Eve, "You surely shall not die," that's actually precisely what he's trying to do, to bring about their death. If you look at verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. It sounds good that partaking of the fruit will be good for you. You'll be like God. Your eyes will be open. You will know many things. You will know things. So here, we have considered before, it's a deception. And the line of approach here is that it's good for you. But in reality, the deception is a deception, and it is not good for them. It is not good for them. In fact, whatever comes from the evil one, whatever he seeks to accomplish, will never be good for men. But rather, it moves in the direction of bondage, of death, of destruction. We look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, a brief description of the plight of mankind. And we know that this came about as a result of the fall of man, what happened in the Garden of Eden. Paul says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working, the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Here we can just briefly take note of a few points. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." As we notice just now in Genesis 3 verse 4, he once says, "You surely shall not die," but it's a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Paul describes us as dead in our trespasses and sins. And the description here of walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, is actually a description of the bondage. The bondage to sin, the bondage to the powers of darkness. The prince of the power of the air is a reference to the evil one. We are walking according to the prince of the power of the air, bondage to him. There's a spirit that is now working the sons of disobedience. We were sons of disobedience. And verse 3, "Living the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind." A life of sin, a life of bondage to sin, and bondage to the powers of darkness. And we know that all this is moving in the direction of destruction, what the Bible describes as the direction of death, as opposed to a life or a mind that is set on the spirit, which is the direction of life. But a life in the direction of the feeling of the flesh is in the direction of death, as Paul tells us in the book of Romans. And here also tells us how we are by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Children of wrath here refers to the wrath of God, and ultimately the judgment of God that will come upon all those who continue to live in this way. So here's a description of the plight of mankind as a result of fall, and it's also basically a description of what the powers of darkness, the evil one, what he's been trying to do to mankind. And even for believers, he's still trying to draw us in this direction, to indulge in the desires of the flesh and to incur the displeasure of God as we live life of sin, and also seeking to draw us in the direction that is negative, that is harmful for us. Another helpful verse that describes to us the work of the evil one, which we have considered in greater detail in our Wednesday session, John chapter 8 verse 44. This is actually a rather helpful verse to consider when we try to understand the work of the evil one. Jesus said to the Jews, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Just a few points to observe here. It's a description of the devil, as Jesus mentioned in verse 44, description of the devil, and he is described as the murderer. So he seeks to bring about death. It can be physical death, but even more importantly, the direction of spiritual death that he's seeking to accomplish. And also tells us here that he's a liar and the father of lies, and that there's no truth in him. There's no truth in him. So as a murderer seeking to bring about death, and this phrase, no truth in him, as we've considered more in detail in the Wednesday sessions, we know that the phrase no truth goes beyond just the fact that he lies, but also that, more importantly, the moral aspects is contrasted with light, is darkness, contrasted with truth, something that is evil, and as is known to us as the evil one, who seeks to bring about all that is negative, harmful, destructive. So it is important for us to be very clear, to recognize the evil one as our enemy, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, the adversary is the enemy, who seeks to destroy us like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. To recognize that he's the enemy who seeks to devour us, to destroy us, and we need to take a firm stand to resist him, to reject all that comes from him, attacks in whatever form or whatever temptations he may seek to put in our way, or whatever he may try to offer us. We must be very alert to it, to discern what he's doing, and we cannot afford in any way to entertain or to give way. There must be no compromise of any sort, no ground given at all, because we know there's no truth in him. He's completely evil, and his basic objective is to destroy us. we must always remember this. He seeks to destroy us. In other words, whenever we yield to him in any way, it is always in the direction of ill effects. And here I would like to emphasize that we need to bear in mind that what he seeks to accomplish is not just something superficial or temporary, but the harm that he seeks to inflict upon us, he actually desires to harm our very being, and his aim is to hurt us and to destroy us in the ultimate eternal sense. That's something we have to bear in mind. And because he's a crafty enemy, and because this is his basic objective, in the ultimate eternal sense he wants to destroy us, he may at times give us temporary pleasure or temporary something that may appear good, appear to satisfy us, appear to meet certain needs and desires of our hearts. So in whatever form he can, he will try to entice us, attract us, tempt us, or to deceive us. But his objective ultimately is to destroy us in the ultimate eternal sense. And that actually is the most important aspect in our lives, the ultimate reality, not just the outward appearance. A person may outwardly appear alright. He may appear quite rich and quite alright. You look at him, nothing seems to be seriously wrong. But it's the ultimate eternal well-being. That is what we know we should be basically concerned about, and not just the superficial appearance, what appears to be. So in our consideration in this series, we have looked at Genesis 3 quite closely, although there are only a few verses in terms of the dialogue there, but we have looked closely at how he has sought to tempt Eve, and how he has tried to offer this temptation in the form of something attractive. We've looked at it earlier on already, how the evil one tempted Eve by saying that if you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, you'll know what is good and evil. And how the woman, as he looked at the fruit, and here I did mention the past, I see it's very likely that when the woman looked at the fruit, looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food, it wasn't just an appearance of good for food between her and the fruit itself, but the evil one is very likely to be at work in the situation to make it appear attractive to her, good for food, delight to the eyes, desirable to make one wise. All these kind of effects, the pull upon her, is likely to be acted upon by the evil one to make it appear attractive. But in reality, we know that although it appeared good to Eve, it did a lot of damage, not only to her, but also to Adam and the rest of mankind. At this point, I thought I'll just make brief observations on this verse 6. She saw that the tree was good for food. And you look at this, how this good for food is an appeal to our bodily appetites. And we can also classify it as the lust of the flesh. And if you put a finger at Genesis 3 verse 6, at the same time also turn to 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Or rather 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. John tells us, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 mentions the lust of the flesh. So the good for food there, good for food, is, you can categorize it also under the lust of the flesh. And Genesis 3 verse 6 also talks about the delight to the eyes. The delight to the eyes, this we can classify under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And you can see this also in 1 John 2 verse 16, the lust of the eyes. And Genesis 3 verse 6, desirable to make one wise, desirable to make one wise. We've also considered this in the area of pride, feeding the pride of man. And here we can also put it as the boastful pride of life. Chapter 3, 1 John 2 verse 16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. Although 1 John 2 verse 16 mentions for the world, we know that basically the evil one seeks to tempt us and bring about downfall. One major way he does so is through the world, the things of the world, as you've seen just now in Ephesians 2, how he operates. And we know that John also tells us how the world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And it is in this kind of sense that we talk about worldly as something that is not good. Not that the things in the world in itself are not good, but worldly in this kind of sense. Under the influence of the evil one. So as we take note of the fact that the evil one is trying to destroy us, he's a murderer and there's no truth in him, we need to constantly be conscious of this fact that we cannot ever receive anything good from him. Absolutely nothing that is good that we can receive from him, because he's the evil one and he only brings us in the direction of darkness. But as the scripture tells us, all good things come from God the Father, the Father of light, the God of love, the God of truth. If we look at John, 1 John, or rather James, James chapter 1 verse 17 tells us that every good thing that's God and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing comes to us from God the Father of light, of love, of truth. But no good thing comes from the evil one. So as you've seen, whatever comes from him, even if it comes from the evil one, even though it may be, appear good or helpful, or even at times it may appear alright, let us remember it is always tainted with evil and his evil designs behind it. And here it is helpful to bear in mind that the things that I'm referring to may be things that may not be evil in themselves. We know there are things that are evil in themselves, but there are things which are also not evil in themselves. For example, material things in general, and money, for example. It is not evil, they are generally not evil in themselves, but when associated with the evil one, negative effects will take place in our lives. And what do I mean by associated with the evil one? By this I mean, for example, in the various things like the material things, where it is not part of God's will for us to have them, but the evil one offers them to us, tempt us with these things, and then we reach out for them. That's what I mean by associated with the evil one, becomes tainted, and it will have a negative effect upon us. Even though the things may appear alright in themselves, and that's how often, if we are not careful, we can be deceived in the temptation that comes upon us. The evil one offers things that appears alright in themselves, and we can rationalize, it's alright, what's wrong with these material things? What's wrong with this, with acquiring more money and things like that? It's alright. There's nothing wrong. There are many Christians, even godly people, who also use these things. But we have to be very careful. Is it really what God desires to give to us and part of a life of faithfulness, obedience to God? Or is it something that has been put into our path by the evil one to tempt us, to distract us? Because if it comes from him and we reach out for it, it will have a negative effect upon our lives. It is tainted, and there's something negative that the evil one will seek to accomplish through it in our lives. So at this time, at this moment, I would like to go on to consider with you various adverse effects on the individual due to spiritual attacks from the evil one. Various adverse effects on the individual due to spiritual attacks from the evil one as he seeks to destroy us, to hurt us. What kind of effects comes upon us? The first major category is the area of the moral aspects, and this is a very important major area. What the evil one seeks to accomplish would be to bring about moral corruption. In general, we can say it's moral corruption, and this can be reflected in various ways. For example, the Bible talks about immorality, or greed, or worldly fleshly desires, or sensuous desires. It's along the same category of fleshly desires. And also the effect upon our lives, the hardening of our hearts, and also seeking to evoke in us, to work within us, to have a rebellious kind of spirit, a rebellious attitude, to be rebellious, to be reactive. As a result, we are not open, we are not teachable, not open to the truth. To make us self-opinionated or arrogant. Various evil desires in our hearts. He also seeks to try to work within us so that we are not honest. We are not willing to face the truth properly in our lives. So when we do something that is not good, we try to pretend that we have not done it. Or the motives of our hearts, why we do certain things. It's actually the motive behind it is not good, but we pretend that that is not the real motive. We cover it up with another motive that appears alright. It's important to note that what the evil one seeks to do as he tries to destroy us, one major aspect of the destruction of the individual is the corruption of our very being, including our character, to render us into an unhealthy state, morally, spiritually. The corruption of our very being, of our character. And I thought helpful and also easy to remember some of these things if we also consider that the direction of it will be opposite to what is listed for us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. What the Spirit of God seeks to do in our lives, we'll find that the powers of darkness under the evil one will seek to accomplish in opposite direction. We look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. We know that these qualities are very important for us to have. It's part of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives, and we should be moving in this direction. And again here, whether in the positive or the negative direction, it's not just a question of whether you have it or you do not have it. The quality matters. The same way when we talk about these adverse effects on the individual, it's not just whether you have it or you don't have it, but can be the degree of it varies. But the evil one will continue to seek to bring us lower and lower in our moral and spiritual well-being, the corruption of our moral being becoming worse and worse. So we look at the fruit of the Spirit, love. So in terms of what he's seeking to do, of course, to work in our lives in such a way, or when he tempts us and we falter, or in whatever form he works in our lives, this is one of the aspects he will seek to accomplish. a lack of love, lack of love for the Lord, lack of love for other people, and in place of it, bitterness, hatred. Look at the word joy. Instead of joy, the lack of it, as well as trying to bring us this sense of depression or being weighed down. And instead of peace, the lack of peace, and we become disturbed within us. Disturbed, restless, full of anxiety. And here, I see it helpful to bear in mind that what the powers of darkness seek to do in our lives, at times, these creatures may just be momentary things, but what he seeks to do is not just that a moment where we feel anxious for the moment, but ultimately, I see it helpful to recognize he is trying actually to bring us into a state, our very state of being is such that we are filled with these negative things in our lives, not just a passing momentary anxiety, for example, but we are constantly in a state of anxiety, disturbed, restless, weighed down, lacking love, for example. So instead of patience, we become impatient, irritable. Instead of kindness, being unkind, harsh, cruel. Instead of goodness, the lack of goodness, but rather evil desires. Instead of that goodness, evil desires, evil intent in our hearts. And instead of faithfulness, rebellious, disobedient to our Lord. Instead of gentleness, aggressive. Instead of self-control, a lack of self-control, lack of discipline. And this is a rather major area that he seeks to accomplish in our lives. If we don't have self-control in our lives and lack discipline so that we cannot grow properly in the Lord or to accomplish even some desires that we may have to follow the Lord, we're not able to work it out. Now these various aspects that I tried to list down, as I mentioned just now, it is in this kind of direction, it's the direction of it that the evil one is seeking to accomplish. Not necessarily that all the features will immediately be manifested in our lives all at one time and all in a very enhanced degree, but in the various ways of attacks upon our lives, as well as various things that he offers to us, in various areas where we falter when he attacks us, more and more he will bring us in this direction. For example, as he stirs within us to be against people, against the brethren, for example, and if we are not careful and we are deceived by him and we begin to falter in that area, then instead of the kindness, the love and so on, we find the bitterness, impatience and various of these features more and more will become not only exhibited once or twice, but if we are not careful, then it can more and more become a part of our lives and our very being affected. Now to summarize what we've covered so far, which are some of the major aspects of the adverse effects on us as individuals and we seek to accomplish, we can say that this actually is moving in the direction of a person who is becoming more and more ugly, unhealthy and negative. An ugly, unhealthy, negative kind of person. There's a kind of effects on the individual. The direction that he's seeking to draw us towards. As the evil one seeks to work in our lives, and as I said, even in the various things that may appear attractive to us, where we do give way to the evil one and he works in our lives, the negative effects as is reflected in the moral aspects of our lives and our inward being. There are also various other aspects that are affected in terms of our faculties. Our faculties are also affected when we do not reject what comes from the evil one, and when he attacks us, the direction, the effects, the adverse effects upon us, our faculties are also affected. For example, in our spirit, if we tend to be sensuous and worldly, then we'll find that we'll be moving in a direction whereby our spiritual appetite for what is positive will diminish. Our spiritual appetite will diminish. Our longing for the time of fellowship, of waiting upon God, of the reading of scriptures, our prayer life, our fellowship with the brethren, our spiritual appetite for all these things will begin to diminish. And also a sense of spiritual dryness comes into our lives. This is also related to difficulty in receiving from the Lord through the various means, whether it be reading of scriptures, or as we wait upon Him in prayer, or from the ministry of others, we find it difficult to receive. We find also that it can affect us in terms of the barrier with God. Because our lives become not right with God, there's a sense of barrier and a conscience that is not clear. And so we find the Spirit of God cannot freely work in our lives to teach us, to guide us, to enable us. And we also find our spirit being oppressed, weighed down. Our spirit becomes rather dull, not sensitive, and not quite able to respond properly, effectively to the various situations of life and what God may seek to impress upon our hearts or to speak to us. We can become rather complacent. Our minds can also be affected, and one aspect that the evil one seeks to hurt us is to work in our lives such that our minds cannot function effectively, especially when we try to live for the Lord. Even though there may be failures in our lives, there's still some desire to serve the Lord, to obey Him, to work out our lives. We find that our minds cannot function effectively. But this will take place also even for those whose conditions become rather bad. They'll also find their minds are also affected. Although at times where there are situations where the evil one may seek to manipulate a person, to use a person for his own ends, then in certain aspects, their minds may be quite clear, they're able to perform certain things, but in other aspects, they also will suffer from some of these features. So the minds not being able to function effectively, there are some areas which we are familiar with, for example, the area of concentration, that we cannot concentrate properly or think clearly, understand things accurately, especially the positive spiritual things, spiritual positive things. But instead, the mind will often be occupied by negative thoughts, impure thoughts, or thoughts that are useless, that are distracting. And one problem that comes into our lives, into the lives of such an individual, is the fact that he cannot properly control his thought life. And he may also find that often his mind is not fresh, it's not clear, so he cannot function properly, understand situations effectively. This can be accompanied by headaches or grogginess, sense of blurriness in the mind. Other aspects include wrong concepts, wrong understandings implanted in the mind and continuing remaining there, so that it affects the whole life and direction of the person. Prejudices or deceptions, various areas that the person has been deceived, continually being in the minds of the person, and this hinders the person in working out lives, whether it be wrong understanding of truth or deception about understanding of people, they will hinder a proper relationship, proper or working of life, or various misunderstandings that occupy the mind. The emotions can also be affected so that the person can become rather moody or feels discouraged or depressed. And the emotions can also be very unpredictable and fluctuates very quickly. One moment the person may appear alright, the next moment the person can become very irritable, very unhappy, and so on. So the person can be irritable, or other aspects of emotion like fear or bitterness. And one area that often affects a person also is in the area of anger. Easily provoked to anger and not quite able to control the temper. Or the other aspect, the other direction of it, instead of very aroused, the person can feel very dull in the emotion, like quite lifeless, and feel rather drained out emotionally, as if nothing matters in this world. A kind of sense, emotionally drained, emotion dull. The will can also be affected, and perhaps you can see two main directions of attack on the will. One would be the wrong direction, the will set in the wrong direction on what is evil or under deception to serve the purposes of the evil one. The other is weakening of the will and the bondage of the will, so that you are not able to work out properly the spiritual bondage. And unhealthy features like stubbornness of the will, not willing to acknowledge what is wrong, to turn to the truth, but continually stubbornly holding on to what is not good, what is not right. In the area of the will also, another problem is the area of lack of self-control and ill-discipline. And lack of self-control and ill-discipline, especially in the direction of what is positive. Not able to, having difficulty with discipline oneself for what is positive and what is good, what is important to the well-being of the person. But discipline or conscientiousness in doing other things, the person may find that he or she can still do many things, take many hours painstakingly doing something, and quite able to do it. But when it comes to spiritually important things, meaningful things, he finds the discipline very difficult. Difficult with discipline in these areas. In the area of the body, the evil one would also seek to cause weakness of the body, tiredness, sickness, poor health in general, so that we are not able to work our lives properly in our walk with the Lord or service unto God. Poor health or injury, in other words, to destroy our health or to destroy our body, and even in the area of physical death at times. The various areas that I have mentioned, if you go through them, you'll notice that these various adverse effects upon us, all of them can come under the category of what is negative and what hinders us in our walk with God, as well as what is negative in terms of our spiritual and in terms of our own being, our inner being. However, some of the areas that are listed, though it can fall under this category of something adverse, negative that has happened to us, that comes from the powers of darkness, at times the same features that are present need not necessarily be something harmful or due to failure on our part. Many of these features, if you go through, you'll find that it necessarily implies failure on our part. For example, a rebellious spirit, greed, aggressive spirit, aggressive kind of first character, being unkind. All this implies failures. But there are some others that are listed which may be contributed by failures on our part, but at times it also may not be. For example, the area of sickness can be due to failures on our part and everyone attacking us in these areas. But even though we may not have failed, it's still possible when we attack this area, like sickness, injury, and so on. I just mentioned this point because as we list out all these areas, although as I mentioned, all these points are listed from the angle of the attacks of the evil one that hinders us, that has an adverse effect upon our lives, because all these can have adverse effects upon our lives. But the mere fact that some of these features do occur in our lives does not necessarily mean that it has a negative effect, an adverse effect. For example, the area of sickness that I mentioned, it can be due to failures on our part, and the sickness that comes upon us having a negative effect upon our lives. It can come under that category because of failure, sin, and sickness coming into our lives. It's part of the attack of the evil one. But the mere fact that we fall sick, we need not conclude straight away that it's due to failure and that the sickness will necessarily have a negative effect upon us. Because if we are faithful and we look to the Lord, even though the evil one seeks to inflict sickness upon us, we can still benefit through the experience. I will comment more on this afterwards. Consider together with you some observations. Firstly, regards to the objective of the evil one, I see it's helpful to bear in mind that the objective of the evil one is not restricted merely to harming us or to corrupt us, our very being, and to destroy our very being. It's not restricted merely to that, but also to instigate, to provoke, and to deceive us into negative actions. Now, we've concentrated more on the effect on individual and the corruption of our being and what happens to us as individuals. But this effect upon our individuals, the negative effects on our being would also move in the direction of negative actions with adverse consequences. For example, in the fall of Adam and Eve, we realize that there are adverse consequences that follow. And a person who becomes rather aggressive in attitudes and in action, and aggressive kind of person, can lead to aggressive actions leading to adverse consequences on others. The same way, the evil desires within the person can lead to evil actions, steps that are taken that are harmful. Not only harmful to the person, but can also lead to harm upon other people. In the same way, arrogant conduct or angry outbursts can be very destructive. So it's helpful to bear in mind, one, the adverse effects on our being, the corruption of our being, the other, in terms of the negative actions that come about. Sometimes the provocation in our lives may not necessarily result in a very deep-seated negative trait in our character, but at that moment when we falter, it can result in something rather harmful that takes place. In other words, in the area of action. So for example, an angry outburst, if you're not careful, we may generally be alright in our walk with the Lord and our state. As I said, we've been considering more on our state in the first part. Our state may be generally quite alright, but at certain moments when the evil one works in our lives and we are not careful, we allow the angry outburst to take place and we don't control it, it can lead to quite destructive kind of actions, even though our inner state may not be very deeply affected long term. But the actions also can be very serious, even though later on we may be sorry about it, we may repent it, but rather destructive things we already have done during those moments of outburst. And that is part of what the ego is trying to do in the path of destruction. And this first point is related to the second observation that I'd like to make, and that is in terms of the objectives of the evil one, direction of bondage and death and destruction, he's aiming not only at individuals one by one. In other words, when he attacks us one at a time, one by one, and the implications upon the one person at one time. If we just look at the first part, we may get the kind of impression, but his strategy and his objective is not merely in this way, one by one. But ultimately, he seeks to destroy the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's own beloved Son, and to promote the kingdom of darkness. In other words, he seeks also to harm church, the church of God, and church life. And here is, I would like to consider together with you what we've been considering just now, the implications of the adverse effects on the individual. How the adverse effects on the individual, we need to bear in mind, does not only affect the individual, but the negative effects on others and on church life. And here I'd like to consider with you two aspects, A and B. A, the corruption of our being that we've been talking about, the unhealthy state that we are in. Now that in itself does not merely mean that we ourselves are in a healthy state. It has other implications in the life of the body. Even without actions, just the mere fact that we are in a healthy state, even before we do anything evil, we take steps, we have done something to harm someone else. The mere fact that we are in an unhealthy state, whenever we yield the powers of darkness or they attack us and we do not resist them properly and we enter into an unhealthy state, that in itself will have negative effects on the life of the body, even apart from specific actions that will follow from that unhealthy state. For example, when our spiritual state is unhealthy, that will affect the quality of gatherings in which we are involved in. Our very presence, for example, in our time together here, we gather together for worship. If various ones of us are in healthy state spiritually, we need not do anything in terms of do some harm or take some specific action, but our very presence in the worship service will lower the quality of the worship depending on whether our spiritual state is healthy or unhealthy. If we're in a healthy spiritual state, our presence will enhance the quality of the gathering, and similarly, if we're in a healthy state, it will affect negatively the quality of the gathering. Now this is so whether it be during worship service or in small groups and various groups as believers meet, or even in one-to-one interactions or meetings, we come into the presence of someone, as we meet someone, enter the presence, come to contact with someone, even though we've not done anything to that person, but the contact. So especially in gatherings of believers where Christians are in an unhealthy state, the spiritual atmosphere will be heavy and weighed down, and the spiritual atmosphere will be difficult. So for example, if various ones are in a state of depression, or the spirit rather oppressed, or they have wrong desires in their hearts, their bitterness or suspicions or rebellious spirit within them, now all this would affect them, will affect the gathering, will affect the unity of the life of the body, will affect the spiritual life and the sense of freedom in the body to, in terms of their outworking, their participation, and the very expression of the life of the body. It will affect the sense of freedom and the spiritual life. this is directly related to the hindrance of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the group, where there are these various negative traits that are present, unhealthy states that are present. It will hinder the work of the Holy Spirit, and this will then lower the quality of that gathering. Now this is effects like this will be allowed to disperse the sample and gathering, say for prayer. And a group that gathers together for prayer, when various of these unhealthy traits are present, the state is unhealthy, then the effectiveness of the prayer, the unity of prayer, the unity of heart, the quality of the prayer will be adversely affected, and the lives of the people are not healthy. In the same way, in the area of fellowship, when various ones come together for fellowship. As I said here, we haven't even gone to the area of words that are uttered or actions that are taken that are negative, that reflect wrong attitudes and so on. But the very presence, when we are not in a healthy state, you affect the gathering. And the second aspect that we can bear in mind then would be the negative actions. But before I go on to the second aspect, this first aspect is important for us to bear in mind, so that we need to be aware that when we are spiritually not healthy, you affect others and you affect the life of the body. And we shouldn't think that I haven't done anything yet would mean that it is alright, I haven't negatively affected anything. But if you are in a healthy state, even though we have not taken any real actions yet, we can already affect. The other would then, the other aspect would be negative actions, because our lives are not good. Now actions, whether it has been reflecting actions or not, different people may want to categorize it in different ways. For example, some people would want to categorize actions in terms of something that you have actually done. Others may want to include words. Words, I would say, is quite clearly you can include under actions that are taken. But what about thoughts in our minds? Would they come under actions? Well, it's up to us. It doesn't matter very much whether we have to classify under the first or second category. But normally, thoughts in our minds, people would not classify that under actions. But thoughts that we have that are not good clearly would affect gatherings that we participate in. So negative actions that flow forth from a line that is not healthy, it's quite obvious it will have negative repercussions in the lives of others and church life. For example, that you can cause a lot of pain and suffering to others and hinder the fellowship, as well as the outworking of church life on the spiritual development, the progress of individuals, as well as together as a congregation. And the evil one in attacking various individuals to hurt them in their inward being, one of his objectives also is to move in this direction, that you not just end in the individual, but this would then also lead to various problems in the life of the church, in church life, the health of church life. For example, the dissension, the strife, the jealousy, and the ill will that would then emerge. Now, these words like dissension, strife, jealousy, ill will, of course, sounds rather contrary to Christian profession of faith and qualities. And it is indeed so that these things are contrary to the Christian faith and the direction of what our lives should be. However, it is sad but yet true that these features and even schemes and intrigues in Christian circles are not that rare in terms of their occurrences. They do occur, and they are not that rare in various Christian circles. They do, in various circles and groups, they do occur. Dissensions and strife, including schemes and various intrigues, and what some people also would call politics in church life. Now all this very often takes place as a result of the unhealthy state of professing Christians. I mean, I use the word professing Christians because it can include genuine Christians, but in many of these groups also there may be those who call themselves Christians, but they are not true Christians in the sense that they are not really children of God. They have not really been born of the Spirit, but they are also in these groups, not only in them, but they can also be holding positions of responsibilities. So all this can is often the result of unhealthy state of the believers or the professing Christians. For example, wrongful desires for recognition or for power. But often there is an interplay of more than one factor. One is to do with the unhealthy state and the wrongful desires. But this is made worse when it is promoted and provoked and instigated by the evil one. And they're already in an unhealthy state and the evil one provokes them, instigates them to do various things, plant various thoughts in their minds. It can result in a lot of problems. And as we understand more of what is happening in the world today, many of these in the Church of God, even today, the contemporary scene, as well as throughout church history, we will find that there are a lot of these problems going on. A lot of these problems that are going on due to the state of the individual as well as the provocations, instigations by the evil one. And so as a result of this, we find that it seriously hinders the witness and the impact of the church. Because when so many problems are going on, how can there be a strong witness and impact of the church on the perishing? One would be in terms of what people observe, all these things that are going on will seriously hinder them, discourage them. The other is the spiritual power and impact. When the Church of God is plagued by so many of these problems, and the disunity and the wrong motives and so many of these unhealthy traits being present, then the spiritual life and power of the church will be seriously hindered. So what I'm trying to get at here is to see in terms of the strategy of the evil one, what he's trying to accomplish. To him, it is already an end he's trying to accomplish in terms of the individual. But the negative effects of the individual and the corruption of the inner being of the individual is only one of his objectives. He also seeks to hinder the whole outworking of God's purposes and the kingdom of God and the mission that the church is to accomplish through all these various attacks. So as I mentioned, it will then hinder the witness, the impact of the church, as well as hinder the manifestation of the power and the glory of God. We know that God is unchanging, and He is always the sovereign, almighty God, the God of glory and majesty. But very often in terms of the manifestation of God's glory and God's power through His people, which is one major means by which God manifests His glory and His power through the church, through His people. Now when a lot of these problems are present and the Church of God is in a healthy situation, in a healthy condition, then the power and the glory of God, the manifestation of it, becomes seriously hindered. And one of the objectives of the evil one is to limit and to hinder the manifestation of the glory of God. Now God's glory, in terms of God in Himself, God's being will never change, and the evil one cannot touch that. But he can hinder its manifestation, for example, through the people of God, where people of God are not faithful, their lives are not being worked out properly. So the power and the glory of God being manifested through His people, this becomes hindered, restricted. And this is one of the objectives of the evil one, because he is the enemy of the Lord, the enemy of God, and he will seek to hinder, as well as if possible, to dishonor the name of God by whatever means he knows how. And that's why he will often seek to instigate as well as to work the lives of believers such that the children of God dishonor the name of God. Another brief point that I want to mention is we have mentioned about the negative effects upon the individual and how this can affect the group, as well as negative actions that flow forth from the life of the individual. Now, this can take place sometimes in the occasional actions that flow forth from a person. However, the evil one also seeks, in terms of accomplishing his objective, to hurt and to destroy. Not only to hurt and destroy a person, but also, if possible, he will seek to bring about a situation whereby he can, on a continual basis, manipulate or use a person for destructive purposes on a more continuing basis. And this is something that is dangerous and something that is serious that we need to bear in mind. Now, more obvious examples would be in instances like false prophets and false teachers and evil men in whom he can manipulate them, not only destroy their lives ultimately, because all these people ultimately they'll be destroyed and they'll come under the severe judgment of God. So their own lives will be destroyed. But not only that, they are being manipulated and being made use of by the evil one to fulfill the purposes of the evil one for destructive purposes on a continuing basis. Not just occasional lapses, but on a continuing basis, you'll manipulate these people for destructive purposes. And under this category, we can also include those who are under deception, especially deception in major issues. So they are acting under deception and continually acting in an unhealthy direction that goes contrary to the kingdom of God, to the ways of the kingdom of God, the effect, negative, destructive. Of course, here, under people who are under deception and so on, there are different categories and different degrees. But false prophets and teachers can be acting out of bad evil motives, but even in this category, there can at times be those who are acting under deception, thinking that they are serving God, but actually acting under deception, and as a result, continually their lives are in a negative direction, and their lives and actions are being made use of by the evil one for those things that are destructive. Now, in a lesser degree, but also very important for us to take note of as believers, we should be very careful. We should be careful not to allow ourselves to be manipulated by the evil one, even for just occasional specific actions, like outbursts and so on, that hinders, that destroys, or ill will, or bitterness and so on, that hinders the life of others, that harm the life of others. But we should be even more careful that we do not come under the influence of the evil one such that he from time to time can with great ease make use of our lives for his own purposes. It becomes something destructive on a continuing basis. But easily he continues to manipulate our lives this way, and this can take place, for example, in the area of deception, where he has deceived us in certain areas, and our lives in that area continually becoming negative, that flows forth wrong concepts that are held in our minds. So this is an area that we need to be careful about. Having said all this, I thought it helpful to, in a concluding observation, to make this comforting assurance that though we have listed out so many ways in which the evil one can affect us negatively, to harm us, to hurt us, and ultimately trying to destroy us, nevertheless, though the ways the evil ones are varied and he can attack us in many different forms, we have this comforting assurance that though the intention of the evil one is always negative, to hurt us and to destroy us, and for this towards this end, he will use all kinds of ways and means. But nevertheless, no matter what he may try to do, it's important to realize that we need not be negatively affected. We need not be negatively affected, no matter what means he uses as he tries to attack us. We need not be negatively affected, no matter what kind of attacks that come from him. And not only we need not be negatively affected, in fact, if we are faithful, then we can trust the Sovereign God, the Sovereign Almighty God, to undertake and to guide and to enable us to go through the situations meaningfully, so that even in the midst of pain and trials and obstacles and attacks of evil one, we can actually benefit and grow spiritually and also grow or be transformed morally. This is a point that we need to bear in mind, because in the midst of a lot of spiritual attacks that come upon our lives, we can often become rather the whole attitude behind it, we can just adopt a position of just trying to endure it and hoping that all these things will go away quickly, that the evil one will just leave us alone. Of course, we do not relish nor invite spiritual attacks at all. But nevertheless, it's important to remember that none of the spiritual attacks that come upon our lives need affect us negatively, but instead, if we are faithful to the Lord, we can trust that He's sovereign, He's watching over us, and He's regulating the situation so that we can actually grow in the midst of all these attacks that come from the evil one. And in fact, this, as far as we can try to understand why God allows the evil one and the forces of darkness to exist in this world. Because as we try to understand it, is it not possible for God to remove the evil one and the forces of darkness? It should be possible for Him, because He's the Almighty God. But as we try to understand why God allows the evil one and the forces of darkness to remain on this earth, we can see that this is likely to be a major reason. That in the midst of all this, there's very much that we can learn and grow. And so this is the area that I would like to spend a little while to consider, and also an area that we can meditate further. So first of all, in terms of our stand, in the light of all this attacks and the objective of the evil one to destroy us, to bring us into bondage, to bring us in the direction of death. The stand we ought to take, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 to 10. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary the devil prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So verse 8 describes to us the thrust of what we've been considering today. The devil, how he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. That's what he's trying to do, to devour, to hurt, to destroy. But in terms of our stand, what should we do? We should recognize that he's the adversary, the enemy, and Peter tells us we need to be sober and we are the alert. We cannot afford to be careless, and to know what he's trying to do, and to resist him firm in the faith. There's a stand. We must always resist him, knowing that whatever comes from him is always evil and his intentions are always evil. So we always have to resist him. There are no exceptions to it. Resist him and resist whatever comes from him, and firm in the faith. This is important. For the resistance to be effective, there must be faith. Faith that is exercised for the moment. At that moment when we are resisting him, we exercise faith, but the other is to grow strong in the faith. And many of us have difficulties resisting the evil one because our faith is not strong. And that has to do with our moral spiritual development. We need to grow strong in the Lord. Then we can resist him effectively. But not only that, the Apostle Peter also comforts us and helps us to see in the correct perspective. He says that after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And this verse is also taken together with the various verses in 1 Peter, the whole thrust of it. He mentions about how in the midst of many trials and difficulties, we are actually being prepared for the eternal kingdom of God. For example, and look as part of our looking forward to the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, and really following from verse 5 about the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, and about the inheritance in verse 4, Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 9, "Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." The epistle of Peter does contain quite a lot of about suffering and the whole attitude and approach to suffering, and we also realize there are a lot of sufferings and trials that Christians go through, including what is mentioned in verse 6 here, distressed by various trials. Very often the evil one has a hand in these things, causing us to go through many difficulties, temptations, trials, difficulties, suffering. But in the midst of all these things, Peter tells us that we can rejoice as we look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as what is going on in our lives as we are being tested by fire, and how as we go through it properly in faith, it can result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is in line with what we have considered in times past in the book of James, chapter 1. I will not elaborate, but just refer to it, James chapter 1. That in the midst of trials and difficulties, James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4, James tells us how we need not be discouraged, depressed, but in fact we can count it all joy. Be joyous, rejoicing in the various trials that we go through, because as we go through them properly, the testing of the faith and produces endurance, and that endurance has its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That God, sovereignly watching over our lives, is overseeing the whole thing. So in the midst of the many situations and sufferings and difficulties, in the midst of the various schemes and devices of the evil one, not only we need not be afraid that we will be negatively affected, but God is overruling all these things. If we keep close to Him, if we are faithful to Him, not only we need not be negatively affected, but instead we can be progressing, moving in the direction of moral perfection, and not only moral perfection, purification, transformation of our lives, but we also know that in the whole context of what the evil one seeks to do in our lives and the trials and sufferings that we undergo, if we are faithful to the Lord, we know it's a time where we draw nearer to the Lord, and a deeper knowledge of who God is, of His grace, of His power in our lives, as well as the realities in the spiritual realm. And we come to understand more of the wiles of the evil one, his ways, how to resist him, and to know more clearly in our lives the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will come to understand more of these things, not just for ourselves, for our own learning, but also how we can help others in terms of sharing with others, how we come to understand, as well as in our prayer for them, as we begin to be more effective, in other words, moving in a direction with better disciples, better soldiers of the Lord. We are able not only to overcome the evil one for our own lives, but also to help the lives of others, to set other captives free, as well as to build up the lives of other believers. So in this context, there is this verse that we are all very familiar with, which we can confidently claim upon if we are walking upright with the Lord. And that is in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We are familiar with that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So, the meaning behind this verse is in the direction of what I've been trying to emphasize in the whole context of understanding the whole perspective of what the evil one is trying to do in our lives. On the one hand, to recognize that he's the evil one, the murderer, with no truth in him, who seeks to devour, who seeks to destroy, to hurt us. But, nevertheless, in the midst of all that he's trying to do, not only we need not be fearful, and not only that we need not be negatively affected by all these things, but to realize that God has assured us that he will cause all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And the all things, the causing all things to work together for good includes the various situations that we go in and the spiritual attacks that we go through. But that is, if we love the Lord and we are walking according to his purpose, as we walk with him, faithful to him, then we can trust the Lord that even in the midst of much pain and trials, obstacles, we can and we will grow as we trust him and benefit, grow spiritually, and our moral lives be molded and transformed. And this is the attitude that each one of us must consciously adopt as we go through the various situations of life. To take a stand properly, to submit to the Lord, to resist the evil one, and at the same time, not to be fearful or discouraged when things are difficult. Not just ordinary difficulties, but even when we realize the powers of darkness are trying to attack us, to discourage us, but to realize that God is sovereignly watching over the whole situation, and He's assured us that not only does He watch over our lives, but all things will work together for good for those who love Him as we walk with Him. So, just summarize very briefly what we have covered. The Lord willing, He enables in the next message of this series, we're going to consider biblical examples in this area of what happens to various ones listed in the scriptures, and what we can learn from what happened to them in these areas of the attacks of the evil one, what happened to them, what kind of response that comes forth from them. We've considered this afternoon about the objective evil one to bring about bondage, destruction, death. This is objective in that direction as he attacks us. And though he told Eve, you surely shall not die, actually bring about death is his real objective. And though he appears to be offering something that is good, we know that not only no good ever comes from him, but evil and negative effects come upon our lives when in any way we succumb to his attacks or we yield to what he offers to us, because he's a murderer, he's a liar, and there's no truth in him. So we've seen the importance of recognizing that good things come only from God the Father of light and truth and love. But from the evil one, we can expect that he will always seek to accomplish only what is evil. And even things that may be good in themselves, or rather, that may not be evil in themselves, and can be used for good purposes, but when it's associated with the evil one, and comes into our lives, when we reach out for it, they are always tainted with evil and negative effects upon our lives. And we've gone on to consider the various adverse effects on the individual due to spiritual attacks from the evil one, and in particular we looked at the moral corruption, a very major important aspect, the moral corruption that comes into our lives and the corruption of our very being, of our character, that renders us in an unhealthy state spiritually, morally. And we've also considered this in the light of how this would be in the opposite direction of what the Spirit of God is seeking to do in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. And the evil one is seeking to draw us or to work in our lives such that we move in a direction to become a person who's ugly and unhealthy and a negative person. We've seen how also our various faculties can also be affected by the evil one to hinder us in our walk with God, our service for the Lord. How he can attack us and hinder us in our spirit, our mind, our emotion, our will, and also our body. And we need to realize that various of these faculties can be attacked directly, but the other is when we succumb to the attacks of the evil one in various aspects of our lives, then our inner being will be affected, and various of the faculties that we have will also be affected, so that we cannot function properly. When we sin against the Lord, when we yield to attacks of the evil one. And we have looked at some observations in our consideration of the attack of the evil one, that he seeks not only to harm us in our inner being, to corrupt us in our very being, but also as a result to instigate, provoke, and to deceive us into actions that are negative, that are harmful, with adverse consequences, and sometimes it can be very destructive. Not just harmful to ourselves, but also harmful to others. And we link this to the next observation, how we need to recognize that the strategy of evil one includes not only attacking us one by one, but its overall objective is to destroy the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, and to promote the kingdom of darkness. And so he would seek to attack and to harm the church of God and church life. And we saw how when the individual is unhealthy, how this can affect, have negative effects on others, for example in church life, and how the very negative traits that we have and our unhealthy state in itself already has a negative impact in church life. The other is in terms of negative actions that flow forth from our unhealthy state, or weaknesses that we yield to in specific situations. And we've seen how there are many problems in Christian groups and circles as a result of the evil one taking advantage, provoking, instigating those with an unhealthy state, as well as through deception that leads to many problems in church life and hindering the witness and impact of the church, as well as the manifestation of the power and glory of God. And we consider also how the evil one seeks not only to hurt an individual or to instigate unhealthy actions on specific situations, but if possible, he would want to manipulate and use a person for destructive purposes on a continuing basis. However, in spite of all that the powers of darkness seek to do, and he can do a lot of harm and damage in our lives as well as in God's work, nevertheless we know that we have the assurance from the Lord and from the scriptures that though the intent of the evil one is to hurt us, to destroy us, yet we not only need not be negatively affected no matter how he may attack us, but in fact we can be positively built up in the Lord as we learn to be faithful to him, to trust him, to go through the various situations together with the Lord, that we may grow spiritually strong, knowledgeable, morally transformed, and to know the victory in the Lord, and not just for ourselves, but also becoming effective in the kingdom of God, that others also may be built up. Let us now spend some time to reflect on our lives, whether there are areas in our lives where the evil one has been taking advantage of our lives in specific situations, but more importantly also try to understand whether there have been various adverse effects on our inner being, areas that we need to put right, wrong attitudes of our hearts, harm that has been inflicted upon our lives, and how to become whole again, how to be healed by the Lord. Let us also reflect on areas of weaknesses in our lives that we've given way to the evil one, and recognize how all this can have serious consequences in our inner being, as well as negative effect on the lives of others. And look to the Lord to help us to see these issues clearly, that we may know how to take a proper stand, be more determined to overcome these weaknesses and the attacks that come upon our lives. Our Father in Heaven,